Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
News breaking this morning, as Susan told us in that bulletin, that in that dramatic U-turn, no alcohol will be sold to fans at World Cup stadium sites and within the perimeter of the stadiums at the World Cup. And in just 48 hours, that World Cup will be underway in Qatar. And we've heard about the numerous controversies overshadowing the finals. But what about the action on the pitch? Well, I'm joined on the line by the soccer journalist and pundit Guillaume Balaguer. Good morning to you, Guillaume. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And we are going to talk about the football. But first, to that breaking news, you're in Doha. What's been the reaction to this last-minute decision?
Well, let's say that football is not really related to drink in this part of the world like it is in Western Europe. That really isn't the problem. For instance, if you you've won alcohol, you have to go to certain places, to hotels, or you need a license from the government. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's moving the goalpost 2 days before the start of the tournament, when it's been organized for the last 12 years. And it raises a question, who is in control of this? It should be FIFA, but it seems it is Qatar. And, of course, that's without talking about the fine that FIFA will get from Budweiser, one of the main sponsors in the World Cup, which now they won't be able to sell beer inside the stadium or around the perimeter.
Yeah, and it just raises the question of what else could happen now, or, you know, in this period before the start of the World Cup, and indeed during it, because no one's going to say to Qatar, well, you can't host this now. I mean, it's a done deal. They know that. They can do whatever they want.
And it feels like that, doesn't it? I imagine nothing else is going to be changed, but it leaves uncertainty of not knowing that that's something that is so certain. You know, whatever you go in any World Cup, and I've been to many, you know what you're getting everywhere along the way, and you know what you can do, and you know what you're not supposed to do, etc. So now, yes, it leaves that question mark. But what else could it be, I don't know, forbidden? I don't think there would be anything else. This was a very delicate issue anyway, and Qatar tried to... There were rumours that things could happen. They were hiding tents in the last few days. So you could suspect that something could happen, but this is a bit dramatic in that mm-hmm. sense. Who yeah. is in control of this?
Look, let's talk about...
And also, Claire, but there's a tiny little drama here, because I'm in a house with three other journalists, very famous journalists. One of them is Grant Wall. His birthday is the 2nd of December, and we've been asking, we need a license to get alcohol for his birthday. We're not going to get one, so, you know... But someone has put on Google the places where you can drink all around Qatar.
Well, you can go to that fan tent and he can buy half a litre of Budweiser for £12, the equivalent of £12. Now, he'll have to queue for a long time and you can only buy four at a time. Well, that sounds like a good night.
as long as the stories are good and you can sing.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not answer that one. Look, on the football side, we've spoken to some of the most ardent football fans, you know, people who adore the game. A World Cup is coming and you would expect them to be so excited, and people are just, it's very weird, isn't it? No one can manage to raise their excitement levels to where they would expect, you would expect them to be.
Well, let me give you the context. I haven't had time to prepare it, really. So only one day off since the league started, finished, the Spanish League and the Premier League, only one day off. And you need a bit longer to actually get fitter, first of all, mentally and physically. But on my way here, and I've been in Doha for one day, all of a sudden I'm thinking, you know that the winners of the last 14 Ballon d'Ors, this is their sending off. Mm-hmm. We're not going to see them with the national side in the World Cup again. Messi, Cristiano, Modric, Benzema. And we have in our hands the potential of enjoying a Pelé. Mbappé could win his second World Cup, and he's only 23. And we're looking for... There's a team that I create, which doesn't compete in the World Cup, which is the best youngsters. And then I see what happens 4 years later. A dribble of Vinicius Jr., a pass of Pedri, a run of Musiala, a shoot from Jude Bellingham, something magic from Phil Foden, Rafael Leao, Joao Felix. I am looking forward to that. I'm sorry to say, I'm looking forward to that. But because I have made an effort to enjoy myself in the next month and a half.
Yes,
basically.
Yes. And you know, you would think that once the stadium lights go on, the teams arrive onto the pitch, the floodlights are switched on and the game begins, that the focus then moves to the football. That's what we would hope for.
I think there won't be a space for anything else, because with three games per day for the first 10 days or so, with all those storage lines that we mentioned already, but let's not forget that it could be the last World Cup of Luka Modric, of Karim Benzema, of Robert Lewandowski, of Cavani. These are the guys that we've been brought up with in the last 10 years. And how about Neymar? Mm-hmm. Neymar, he decided approximately 3-4 years ago that he's not one to be fighting every day for his teammates in at club level. No, but only if he gets to the last 16 of the Champions League. But he's preparing himself for the World Cup. Could be his last. He's only 30, but because in his mind he's not really a professional player anymore, he's just one for the big moments. Could be his last World Cup again. And what a team Brazil has. So we want Messi to win a World Cup as well, don't we?
Well, you do. I was reading that you say he is the best player ever to have played football, and you really hope that they do it this time.
Just to finish some debates. Enough of all this. Yeah, but he hasn't won a World Cup. A World Cup, by the way, 7 games in the, I was going to say the summer. In the summer, unless it's Qatar, and then it's in the winter. But in any case, it is 7 games. It's a month. How can we ever judge what happens in that month? But it is very true that the storyline will be fantastic if he manages to get to another World Cup final and win it. And then he can say, ciao. I enjoy myself here at this level. I'll stay with PSG for a little bit longer, but my days as an elite player finishing, and what a way to finish it.
Yeah, job done, basically, you know, if they come out on top. And there's a lot of focus on Argentina as the potential winner of this thing. I mean, how do you rate their chances?
They haven't lost in 36 games. If I give you names of the players, you won't get very excited, because you know Di Maria is a little bit old, and Lautaro Martinez, and it's not really Guido, you know, and Otamendi at the back. They're not great, but they are very solid. And what they've done, Lionel Scaloni, the manager, is to actually make a team for Messi, so a team that doesn't go box to box and running a lot. No, they'll attack together, defend together, and every time they have the ball, they'll go like, "Where is Leo? Ah, there it is, give him the ball," and things should happen.
You mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo as another superstar player who might be playing for the last time in a World Cup. You've written one of the best-known biographies of Cristiano Ronaldo. Do you feel he's going into this with a cloud over him after the big interview with Piers Morgan?
In his world, he's actually getting rid of that cloud. In his mind, he's done the right thing. He's just punished those that have punished him or haven't treated him properly. In his mind, he's in a happy place. But in anybody else's mind, it would be like, my God, what I've just done. Is it right what I said about my manager and my teammates? And in the mind of some of his teammates in Portugal, they're not that happy. There's been a couple of incidents with João Cancelo and Bruno Fernandes, key players of Portugal, where Cristiano got close to them. They just didn't seem happy at all. It was fascinating to hear the PR team of Portugal, the press officer, saying, no, this has to do because somebody lost the luggage, and then he was saying, where's my luggage? No, I don't have your luggage. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're buying that one, all right. But the manager, or the coach, Fernando Santos, he said this is not a distraction. He's a free man. It was his decision. We have to understand and respect it. But you're not buying that either.
Do you know what he's doing, Cristiano, amongst many other things? He's reminding everyone that he is huge. Of course, the best watched interview in that channel. Of course, everybody knows about it and everybody's talking about it. Perhaps he's reminding Fernando Santos, if he was tempted to use Andres Silva or Rafael Leao up front and not Cristiano, just a reminder that, you know, I've got 400 million followers on social media, so be careful how you treat that. I wonder if there was a bit of that too, because he's not an elite player anymore.
What did you make of his decision to do that interview? Because you could argue, and it has been argued, I know there's a big divide amongst United fans, that he wants the best for the club and for himself, and he feels that the people who are in charge are not working towards that aim.
First of all, I put it in a different order. He wants the best for himself. I'll tell you a little story. Ralf Rangnick, the former manager of Manchester United, had a chat with Cristiano, and Cristiano said to him, you know what you have to do? You have to put another striker next to me and then put two wingers that can put the ball at the right time into the box. And he said, four up front, okay. Do we put midfielders? And it was all about how Cristiano can just become a bigger Cristiano. And yes, he's right in many things he says. It's the way he said it. Of course, Manchester United have been stuck in time. They've got a manager that's moving them forward. It's just that Cristiano doesn't want to be there. But what a way to leave the club. There are many others, but I don't think Cristiano, with him, is black or white, and you are with him or against him. There's no middle ground. And right now, enemies are within the camp, within Manchester United, and he wanted to let the world know that that was the case.
Yeah, it's so interesting, though, isn't it, to see what happens next, to see how he plays, to see how he gets on with his international teammates. It's just like watching a soap opera, a drama, play out in real time.
And why wouldn't you watch the World Cup then? So many people don't want to do it when you've got this kind of thing.
But you know, that's what I feel, that, you know, everybody is talking rightly about human rights issues in Qatar. But once the games start, I think there will be a shift and a focus on the football.
Once you're here in Doha, the first thing that I saw was a woman all in black. I could only see her eyes checking my passport. And that straight away is a shock to the system. I'm not used to that. It's not visually, to me, it's not right. And then you walk around the streets and not everything has been done. Not all the streets are finished. Not all the buildings are finished. And you see a lot of people servicing you from the moment you get to reception in the houses where we are, the delivery people, and they're all Indians or from Pakistan or from that part of the world that you think, how much will they be paid for all this?
Yes.
And does that, you cannot escape that. You cannot escape that. There's a football game to watch as well. And I think both can be, both feelings can be travelled together to this World Cup.
Mm-hmm. So back then to who you think might come out on top. We've spoken about Argentina, Spain.
We have to put Brazil there as well, but Spain, we could get knocked out in the group stage, or we could win it. Either. Yeah. Both can be possible. It's that kind of game, that kind of team is a coin in the air. Luis Enrique is the most, I don't know how to call it, brave, let's call him brave, manager out there who's got the second youngest squad in the competition, and everybody follows his lead. He says to them, defensive line in the halfway line, let's just attack. But how about this stuff that is spacing behind us? Never mind. Let's just put 8 players in front of the ball. Let's just go. And what that means is I'm going to have a lot of fun watching them, but this is the kind of team that could win and beat anybody or lose against anybody.
Impossible to call. And for England, I just don't think there's as much pressure on England as there has been at other tournaments in the past. What do you think?
Possibly because he hasn't been so much following or time to think about the World Cup. The Premier League just finished a few days back. But I'm seeing something very interesting. Pessimism returning to England, and accusations that Gareth Southgate is not the man for them, even though they, you know, managed to get them to the semi-finals of the World Cup and to the European Championships final. And what I'm seeing is somebody that actually has maximised the potential of a team, just made them cautious, because you have to be. Spain won the World Cup conceding 2 goals, and he's trying to do the same kind of thing and use the potential that he's got up front with Harry Kane, Bellingham, Foden, and people don't like it. It's like, no, we have to just play more offensive, and we like Mourinho in charge, which is better headlines. I think they're getting it wrong. Southgate is the man for it, and I think they've got a chance to win it.
Guillaume, just before we let you go, Manchester United have just released a statement on the Ronaldo interview. Man United has this morning initiated appropriate steps in response to Cristiano Ronaldo's recent media interview. We will not be making further comment until this process reaches its conclusion. Will you translate that for me before you go?
Ten Hag doesn't want him at the club anymore, and Manchester United are trying to do it in a cheap way.
Guillaume, thank you so much, and great to talk to you as always, and I hope that you do get to enjoy the football over the next while and to celebrate your colleague's birthday too, which is very important. Guillaume Balaguer, soccer journalist and pundit. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.